This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 24th of February 2016 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. It's time for our bi-weekly roundup of theatre this week, and on hand to guide us through a trio of London productions is Dominic Maxwell, theatre critic for The Times. We'll be at the Old Vic for Ralph Fiennes' acclaimed role in Sir David Hare's reworking of The Master Builder. We'll find out whether ex-Friends actor Matthew Perry has what it takes as a playwright in The End of Longing, which sees him treading the boards at the Playhouse Theatre. And we'll dissect the young director Robert Icke's revitalisation of Anton Chekhov's Uncle Vanya. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. We'll begin today's show at the Old Vic here in London for the latest production of Henrik Ibsen's seminal play The Master Builder, which was originally written way back in 1892. Now, this revival of the work has an all-star cast and crew behind it, with Ralph Fiennes taking up the lead role of Halvard Solness, and with the celebrated writer Sir David Hare behind the adaptation. Dominic, welcome to the show. Before we discuss how successful this production is, let's briefly recap some of the storyline.
It's about a builder, a master builder, who is effectively an architect, played by Fiennes. He's getting on. He's starting to wonder where he's going to go next in his life. Suddenly, from nowhere, a woman, now a woman, formerly a girl, who he kissed when she was 13 and told her he'd be her princess when she was older, suddenly arrives in his life. And he gets a stirring in his loins. And he suddenly starts to think, actually, do you know what? Maybe I can do something new with my life. Maybe I can change things around.
Now, I know that Ibsen was quite known for writing some rather shocking material during his time. But, of course, his time was 1892. Yeah. And what was shocking in 1892 probably won't pack such a punch today. Mm. With that in mind, how do you think the themes of what's being presented here come across to audiences of today?
I think there's a Freudian or even pre-Freudian sort of emphasis on sex or buried sexuality that still takes you by surprise. I don't think it shocks, but I think it still cuts through. And I think there is something about this depiction of a middle-aged man, as I say, girding his loins that is still unusual. It is a very unusual play, it should be said. It's coming towards the end of Ibsen's career, and he's sort of nailed how to do naturalism, but he's bringing back the kind of slightly unusual, almost supernatural themes that he started off in his career. And it's a singular blend.
Now, Ralph Fiennes, I think, is such a tremendous actor, and he's got such an interesting filmography and really body of work in all fields behind him. He's attracted some quite significant praise for his portrayal here of the character Halvard Solness. Tell us about your thoughts on his performance.
Well, I think one of the things we've seen about Ralph Fiennes recently is how funny he can be. And this isn't a comedy, this isn't a primarily comic role, but he gives it that kind of Leonard Rossiter comic energy here, which sits very well alongside the desperation. If I say he gives a big performance, that sounds pejorative, but I don't mean it like that. The Old Vic is a huge old theatre. I think it's very difficult theatre to conquer, actually. And he's one of those actors who can play it huge, who can project right to the back of the room and yet keep it intimate at the same time. I mean, he was in Man and Superman at the National last year, and that was, again, a sort of epic performance and a funny performance. And once again, he's mixing the two. I love him. I think he's great.
I think he's absolutely fantastic as well. Now, one other aspect I wanted to talk about here was that this play is actually about an architect. Mm. And I know that that theme really runs into many different veins within the story that's being told here. But in a visual sense, how did you think the play came across?
Very well. It's designed by Rob Howell, who designed Matilda for Matthew Warchus before. And he's got these very high bookshelves. We don't have the big towers that, I mean, the master builder is building this big tower, and you don't have to be Freud to wonder what a big tower represents to him. We don't see that. And there is an ending involving that that is off stage, that's very hard to stage. And they found a, well, for want of a better word, coup de théâtre to get that idea across without actually depicting it. And I can't really say any more without giving it away, unfortunately. But they have these fantastic, huge bookshelves reaching up about 25, 30 feet into the air. And so you have this very sort of Scandinavian interior. And you have this suggestion, these sort of bits of wood behind, giving the sense of nature encroaching behind it.
And that's just part of the symbolism of what's happening here. How much of the play do you think gets across in a literal sense compared to what's happening out behind the words?
Ooh, now, how to unpick that one? I think it all comes across. I think the crucial thing is we haven't mentioned Sarah Snook, who is an Australian actress I hadn't heard of before. The crucial thing is the chemistry between the two of them. And you have to have a kind of mutual attraction, a kind of sense of wrongness. She has to come in as this absolute force of nature who isn't going to say, who isn't going to let no be an answer. And she does that. She has this, she's attractive, but it's not just a sexual thing. It's a kind of unstoppability. It's a kind of frankness about her. And it's a very young energy. And he has his laconicness, his wit, his intelligence. And the two of them together get something really special going. It's not quite the same. The last time this was on in the West End, there was Patrick Stewart with his then-girlfriend, the much younger Lisa Dillon, and there was a real erotic charge between them and that. I wouldn't say there is that here, but there is a real chemistry nonetheless, and that's what drives it on. That's what matters most here.
One of the most fascinating aspects, of course, about theatre is that you can really have so many different productions of the same thing and still not have any two who are the same, depending on who is actually up on the stage and behind the scenes. That is The Master Builder, which is on at the Old Vic here in London until the 19th of March. Now, next on our list today is a new play written by and starring Matthew Perry. Of course, you know the name. He's best known for playing Chandler Bing in the American sitcom Friends. The End of Longing follows four characters in their 40s on a night out in a Los Angeles bar when they are forced to confront the darker side of their relationships. Dominic, tell us about this. It sounds quite a curious beast.
Yes, I think it is a curious beast. It's funny, isn't it? I mean, if Matthew Perry hadn't written it, it wouldn't go on in the West End. It's as simple as that. Which isn't to say it's hopeless. It's not at all. And actually, the first act, which is very Friends-like, I think is rather enjoyable. Matthew Perry plays this chronic alcoholic, but the sort of happy-go-lucky alcoholic, fun guy alcoholic, or so it seems to begin with. He meets this this woman in a bar, who happens to be a prostitute. She's quite open about that. She's quite relaxed about that. That's what she does. That's okay. So he's got to get used to her sleeping with other men for cash, and she's got to get used to him being a chronic wastrel. And for about an hour, they have a pair of friends as well, her uptight friend, his kind of stupid friend, a little bit on the Joey side. For the first hour, it really chugs along very nicely. And then you think, oh, now how are they going to deal with this? There's this sort of latent, what are they going to do with her being a prostitute, him being an alcoholic? It's going to go somewhere serious. Can they take it somewhere interesting? Yeah, he can't, unfortunately.
Oh, no. Now, this is his playwriting debut. He's obviously well known for his comedic roles. But this doesn't really strike me as something that may be incredibly laugh-out-loud funny.
I think in the first half it's pretty funny. I think it, like I say, it chugs along like an episode of Friends. It's funny, he wears his influences quite classically on his sleeve. It's very Friends, and also about 12, 13 years ago he was on the West End stage before in a David Mamet play called Sexual Perversity in Chicago, which was filmed as About Last Night. And this really is a cross between the two. It has some of the bubbliness and the banter of Friends and some of the darkness, the sort of sexual content of the Mamet play. But it's a first attempt. And where he takes it is really disappointing because it's very on the nose. It's very direct. It has him sort of confessing to being an alcoholic, and in a bit I got a little round of applause when I saw it. But I think, as much as anything, that's because people applauding Matthew Perry, who's an alcoholic himself, a recovering alcoholic himself.
Yes.
And there was a sort of collision of the real and the fictional there in some of the response.
Well, you did say that, quite simply, if this wasn't the work of Matthew Perry, the television star, this wouldn't have hit the stage on the West End. Do you think that maybe that eats into some of the problems here, that we've got something that might be a little bit underdeveloped, might not have gone through the same sort of hoops that anyone else would have had to go through to get their work up there? That's not to say that Matthew Perry is not a talent, of course. He's worked in television and many other mediums for a long time. He's clearly a very talented writer, going right back to his time developing a lot of the episodes of Friends. But something suggests here, just going by some of the reviews and what you have said, that this is a little bit undercooked.
Yeah, I think it's hard. And I think if this came on at a fringe theatre, a studio theatre, you would think, yeah, this is interesting. It falls apart a bit at the end, but this guy's really got something. I should also say it's very well performed. Perry himself is sort of almost W.C. Fields-like in his sort of yada, yada, yada kind of rhythmic delivery. But he's great. He looks a bit haggard, but it works for the part. It's terrific. The other three, I can't imagine it being done much better. I can't imagine it being done an awful lot better than Lindsay Posner's production. Such a shame. At the interval, I was going, what are all these other critics going on about? This is fine. Then at the end, oh, I see. Yeah, I see.
Well, say what you like about Matthew Perry, but he is always surprising. That is The End of Longing, which is on at the Playhouse Theatre until the 14th of May. Well, let's finish today at the Almeida Theatre for Robert Icke's recreation of Anton Chekhov's Uncle Vanya. This production brings the story up to date with a modern setting and anglicised versions of the original Russian names. Dominic, how does it all work?
Well, can something be both A, amazing, and B, an hour too long? Because I think that's what we've got on our hands here. Robert Icke redid the Oresteia last year. He had a huge success with that. It was one of the best shows of the year. It went to the West End. He modernised that. He took quite a radical approach to it. He's sort of done the same here. He hasn't been quite as radical, and I guess there isn't really the room to be quite as radical. What he has done is he's rather brought out all the themes in Chekhov's original. He's brought out all the languor. He's brought out all the boredom, all the frustration, all of that. He's done it beautifully. There's some wonderful performances. I think I'd say, though, is the languor will sort of look after itself. You know, the languor is there in the Chekhov. The boredom is there in the Chekhov. And what he's done, sometimes wonderfully, but cumulatively, rather wearyingly, is he's emphasised all this boredom. He's emphasised these characters are going round in circles. I'm literally going round in circles because the stage is on a revolve, going round slowly in a circle.
Oh, my goodness.
And so the details are fabulous, but it's 3.5 hours with 3 10-minute intervals, and I really think it could have been done in an hour, three-quarters of an hour less.
Look, I have to confess I'm a little bit biased here because I'm not a strong believer in massively long epics like this. I think that generally when something goes for this long, it picks up a few weaknesses of the talent behind it, showing that you just don't know how to summarise what's important about the story into what would be a generally acceptable running time. Tell me about how it actually feels to watch this, though, because as you say, it does go for probably what is too long. By the end of it, do you feel like you've actually consumed a story that you can look back on and understand, or are you just thinking, oh, this is just too much? I've quite literally forgotten how it all started.
Well, I think the play is kind of circular anyway. It's not a very plotty play at all, to say the least. It's a day or two in this country house. People come, people go. It looks like things are going to change. It turns out nothing is going to change. You know, that's built into it. That's a sort of early bit of stasis. You have to be very good to do stasis. And normally you go, oh, no, please don't. Chekhov is that good. Uncle Vanya is that good. What is great about it, what is great about the slowness is Robert Icke has a real knack for bringing out amazing performances. There is Tobias Menzies as the doctor, the outsider. There is Vanessa Kirkby as the unhappily married wife to an older husband who sort of falls for the doctor, but nothing really happens. It's frustration. It's about to happen. It doesn't happen. There's Jessica Brown Findlay from Downton as the girl who is also in love with the doctor. There's lots of these wonderful detailed performances. And if you take any 5, 10, 20-minute chunk of the play and hold it up, you go, wow, amazing. It just gets wearing, that's all.
See, this would never happen in the world of cinema, would it? You'd have someone saying, no, you need to edit that down. You need to snip it into
well,
two different movies.
Well, I think
movies.
He had a great success with Oresteia, which was even more of an epic. And he's a terrific director, but I think he has indulged himself here. Like I say, it's brought forth many bounties, and I know lots of people love it, but for me, less would have been more.
Well, that's Uncle Vanya on at the Almeida Theatre here in London until the 26th of March. And that does bring us to the end of today's show. Special thanks to my guest today, Dominic Maxwell. You have been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. We will, of course, be back at the same time tomorrow for our weekly book review. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks very much for listening.